Well, it's true, isn't it? It's a simple idea. If there's a sheep pen, and someone comes to the sheep pen, and they sneak in, and they don't have a key to the gate, they sneak in, they jump over the fence, it's probably not their sheep, right? And they're probably up to no good. They're probably trying to steal some sheep. Maybe they're just kids and they're just going to mess with the sheep. I may or may not have done that before. But if you can just strut right up, you walk up to the gate and the gatekeeper, you don't even have to say anything to him. He knows who you are. He opens the gate for you. You walk right in. It's probably your sheep, right? You're probably the shepherd. That's a good thing. Whoever that guy is, whoever that person is that walks in, he talks to the sheep. The sheep hear him. They know him. They remember him. They recognize him. He calls them. They have names. He knows their names. The other guy didn't even know they had names. And he talks to them. He takes them out of the pen. He leads them. He goes in front of them. He takes them to beautiful pastures, to the top of hills, to the bottom of valleys. And he's always watching out for wolves because he wants to protect them from their teeth and their bad ideas. So he can keep the wolves away. He won't run when he sees wolves. He defends them and protects them because the sheep can't do that. They're just fluffy animals, right? It's not going to go very well for them if the wolves show up. But he cares for them because he loves the sheep. It's a pretty simple story. Well, that's a simple story, and either you're thinking at this point, yeah, okay, whatever, or I want to know more. Why did you tell me this story? What's the point of this story? And Jesus tells a story just like this in the book of John. John is a book about Jesus, a whole story about Jesus. And he tells us a story just like this. And our response is either, you're crazy, I don't know why you're telling me this story, or this is a good story, I want to know more, I want to understand. And that's what we're going to learn today. And the interesting thing, we've been going through parables for several weeks now, and this reminds me of a story. That's kind of the theme of the sermons we've been doing lately. And usually there's a story, and we read the story, and then we figure out what the story means, and that's it. But this time, Jesus tells us a story, and it's just a simple story, and then he tells us a little bit more of a story, but instead of just a story, it starts becoming more about reality. This is what really happens. And by the end of his telling of this story, he's saying, this is what's actually going on, this is why I came, this is why I'm here. So it gets a little confusing in there. It starts as a story, and by the end of it, we have to respond. We have to decide what we think about Jesus. This story is in the book of John. The story starts in chapter 10. So if you want to turn there, there's Bibles in front of you if you don't have those. But really, the context of the story kicks off in chapter 9. In chapter 9 of John, Jesus heals a man born blind, which is a really great story. If you haven't read it, you should check it out. We hit it in our sermon series on John, but it's a wonderful story. He heals this guy who was blind. He was born blind. He'd never seen before. Jesus heals him. And then he gets in a little theological tussle with the Pharisees, because that's what happens every time. And because he healed him on the Sabbath, it got a little... they were mad. But by the end of it, he basically says, I came so that people who couldn't see, whether physically or spiritually, they just don't understand. I came so that they would see. And those who think they see, who think they know how it goes, who think they understand, I came so that they don't get it anymore. So they have to rethink everything. And he says that, and the Pharisees say at the very end of chapter 9, are we also blind? Are you saying we're blind? And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, we see, your guilt remains. And that's where we jump into the story. And they're going to have to decide what they think. So let's go, verse 1, chapter 10. There's three big chunks of this, and the first one is 1 through 6. So let's read that really quick. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So he tells us this little story, just like I did. I said it in my own words so we would be able to think about it a little bit. But this is the story Jesus says. And the interesting thing is, if you go through this whole book, if you were to read this whole Bible, God is always talking about sheep, always talking about shepherds. In Psalms, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There's always this metaphor and this allegory. He talks about his people as his sheep, and he's going to protect them. And any wolves that might come in, those are bad people that are going to lead sheep astray or destroy them and hurt them. This is a common theme. So he tells this story, and the Pharisees, what do they say? I don't understand what he's saying. And the Pharisees were the guys that understood the Bible. I don't understand what he's saying. I don't get it. And they're deciding, this guy is crazy, he's telling another story. He's always telling stories. And I don't get it, whatever. And the other response to this could be, this is an interesting story, I want to know more. So as we go through this, I would invite you to think about where you're at with that. Are you the person that's saying, this is another story, it doesn't matter, I don't care, or this is interesting, I want to know more, I want to understand what Jesus is saying. And this is an obvious, it's just like I said before, thieves jump in, these are not their sheep. Shepherd can go through the door, it's obvious who owns the sheep. He knows the sheep, his sheep know him. It's a simple story. So he keeps talking. The next part of this is 7 through 10. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Okay, this is different. We're not just a story anymore. Jesus just said he's a door. That's kind of weird, but now we know this isn't just a story. He's going to connect this to reality. He's going to tell us something about him. I am the door of the sheep. What does that mean? Let's keep going. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone, okay, he didn't say any sheep. If anyone, now he could be talking about us, the people that are listening. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So now we see this is not just a story. He's not just telling us a little story. He's not just painting this picture of this pen with the shepherd and the sheep, and we have to figure it out. He's talking about himself now. And he's painting this picture. There's this pen of sheep, but the sheep aren't just sheep. This is the people of God. These are God's people. And there's a door to get into this pen, and you can't jump over because then you're just a thief. And you can't sneak around the back because then you're a robber. And you can't just hide or try to get in. That's not how you do it. There's one door, and how do you get in the door? Jesus is the door. If you want to get in this pen, Jesus is the door. And why would we want to get in this pen? I love this. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. There's thieves before. We get stolen. We get killed. We get destroyed. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. That's a good thing. Jesus is the door to the pen. And if you're in there, this is the place where Jesus protects you and gives you life and gives abundant life. This is a good thing. And I think about this just as a sheep, maybe. There's life in the pen, probably not that great, I don't know. But I think about what would life be, abundant life for a sheep, and I think about the glorious countryside. I was in Yamhill area a couple days ago, and I was sitting on this knoll, and there was the valley that spread out below me, and there was oak trees to my right and a beautiful vineyard to my left, and there was mountains on the backdrop. It's like, this is a beautiful place. And it was a ranch, and I went there, and I knew they had sheep, and I said, hey, I want to look at your sheep because I'm preaching a sermon and I want to see your sheep. And they said, we got rid of all the sheep. no! That was going to be so good. But I thought about these sheep anyway that are not there anymore. And there's life in the pen and there's protection in the pen. And you can be protected from wolves in the pen. But we're going to see that a good shepherd takes his sheep out and takes them to good places where there's good grass. And it's not just life in the pen, it's life abundant. And Jesus said, if anyone comes to me, just like sheep have life abundant, where they can go on top of this mountain, or we can go in the valley, or we can go drink water out of a creek, which is way better than water out of a trough. And we can get shade under the trees, life abundant. If anyone comes to me, I will give them life abundant. Abundant life. That's not just I exist type life. That's good life. That's great life. That's weighty, joyful, good, great life. Wonderful life. So if you're listening to this story, you're thinking, all right, Jesus says he's the door to this place. But this place, that's where there's protection. That's where there's provision. That's where there's goodness. That's where there's joyful life, abundant life, full life. I want to be a part of whatever he's doing. And someone may be thinking, I have life right now, but it's not good. It's not abundant. It's not full. I exist. I want abundant life. I want full life. So we can see again, there's two responses. He's telling another story. Now he's talking about himself. He doesn't know how to tell a story because he keeps putting himself in the story. He's not a door. There's that response, or there's, I want life. How do I get life? How does this happen? So I want to know more, so I'm going to keep going. This third big chunk, it's 11 through 18. Jesus continues with his story, with his allegory, with his metaphor. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. He starts his story, he continues his story. He says, I'm the good shepherd, but I'm not like most shepherds. If you think about the hired hand at the farm, he's hired to take care of the sheep. He's the guy. He opens the door. He feeds them. He cares for them. He's a good guy. Nothing wrong with them. But if I were him and I see a wolf and there's sheep around me, I'm out. I'm leaving. I'm gone. I'm not willing to hang out with a wolf to protect sheep because they're just sheep. But Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This is crazy. Jesus is saying, I'm a shepherd of sheep. I'm a shepherd, a protector, a provider of this group of sheep that we're getting the idea is God's people. But in this story, there's sheep. I am willing to die for these sheep. What? Who dies for a sheep? I was in 4-H. I didn't have sheep, I had other animals. But I didn't die for them, ever. They died for me. But I wasn't willing to die for them. And Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, I lay down my life for the sheep. I will die for the sheep. I will give my life for the sheep. This is crazy. This is a weird story. What are you saying? And there's two responses, right? This is weird. You're crazy. He gives his life for the sheep. He gives life. What does he mean? I want to understand. We keep going. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd. We're getting the idea. He's a really good shepherd. He's not just the average shepherd. He's laying down his life for the sheep. But these sheep aren't just sheep. They're the people of God, the people he wants to protect and serve and give abundant life to. He says, I know my own. I go to these people. They know me. They know who I am. And I know who they are. And he says, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. This is a crazy idea to me. He says, I know my people and they know me. And that relationship is just like I know God the Father and God the Father knows me. Which if you've been reading this book for a while, you know that's a really close relationship. Right? Jesus knows God and God knows Him in a really very close way. He calls Him Father. Jesus, God, calls God the Father, Dad. He says, just like this really close relationship, that's how I am with my people. I know them, they know me. I know their names, I call their names. They remember my voice, they follow me. We're really, really close. That's awesome. I can be that close to Jesus? He's gonna give me abundant life. He's going to lay down His life for me. I'm going to be that close to Jesus? This is a good story. And I love this second part. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For the entire history of this book, usually when he was talking about sheep, he was talking about the people of God, Israel. And he was their shepherd. He was going to lead them and take them places. So that's already kind of in our minds if you were sitting here listening to this story. Unless you just were not listening and you thought Jesus was crazy. Oh yeah, he's probably talking about Israel. God's people. Those were the ones that were God's people. Everyone else, not God's people. And he says, I have other sheep that are not here. They're not in this fold yet. They're not in the pen yet. I'm going to go get them. And I'm going to bring them, and they will listen to my voice. They will know who I am. And there's going to be one flock and one shepherd, me, Jesus. And when I hear him say this, and he said this 2,000 years ago, in my mind I think, he's going to come get me. He's going to come get me. He was in Israel. We know how the story eventually progresses, but people start following Jesus. And it starts in Jerusalem and it goes out to other countries. Places where there were no people of God before. And people start following Jesus. And it goes out of the Middle East and it eventually crosses oceans. And goes to different countries. And Jesus gets me. And he gives me life. And he gives me his life. And I get to know Jesus close. Because he came and got me. And maybe you're thinking the same thing. He came and got me. And that's what he's talking about right here. They will listen to my voice. There was a day at one point when I heard Jesus' voice. He said, you're mine. I said, oh, this is good. I get to be part of that. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. There will be one flock, one pen, one group of God's people, one church. Over the whole world, one shepherd, Jesus. That's cool. That's a great story. This is getting good. Why is there one church? Why is there one shepherd over this whole world? In 17, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. He says, do you want to know why God the Father looks at me and smiles? Do you want to know one of the reasons he loves me? Because Jesus came down to earth. And Jesus, God, became a man. He took on flesh. He took on humanness and became a man and lived a life. And what does it say here? Laid down his life. We know the story. He laid down his life. He died on a cross, and on that cross he died for my sin, your sin, guilt, shame. He took your punishment. and He died on a cross and He laid His life down. And laying your life down, that's a human thing. Anyone can die. But what does it say here? I have authority to lay it down, okay. I have authority to take it up again. This isn't just a human death. Jesus died and had the authority, the ability, the title to say, I'm taking my life back. I'm going to live again. And we know the story. Jesus died on a cross, was put in a grave, laid there for 3 days, and then walked out of the tomb, walked out of that grave. Because He took His life again. Because He said, I have the authority. I am God. I will rise again. And I will conquer death. I will conquer sin. I will take that guilt you had and throw it away. I will take your shame away. And I will give you life. And we know from this passage, abundant life. Good life. Full life. Joyful, weighty, heavy, good, great life. Because Jesus is our shepherd. Because Jesus is the God who came down. He says, this is the charge I have received from my Father. He says, that's why God looks at me and smiles. That's why God loves me. Because I'm doing this great thing. Because I'm making a people. Because I'm going to go through the whole world and save people in Oregon, in Jerusalem, in Canada, in Mexico, and throughout the whole world. I'm going to grab as many people as I can, and I'm going to save them, and I'm going to give them life. And God the Father smiles and says, oh, I love my Son, Jesus. I love Him. He's doing such a good thing. There's so much hope in this story. There's so much goodness in this story. And we have, at the very end of this passage, 19 through 21, we have, again, our two possible responses. They hear this wonderful story. They hear that there's this people of God. We can call them sheep. There's a door that you can get in, but there's only one door. His name is Jesus. That's the only way you get into this people of God. And we learn there's a shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He dies for sheep. That's crazy. And He lives again. He's willing to give life to these sheep, to these people, to the people of God. And He's willing to go through the whole world and grab more people of God and make them part of this fold. One fold, one shepherd. And how do people respond? They hear this great story. Verse 19. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? So you can see as this story progresses, it started with, I don't understand. I don't get your story. I don't. Whatever. It's another parable. I don't want to understand. I don't see. I don't get it. And Jesus kept telling this story and it forced someone to make a decision. They got all the way over here to not just, I don't understand. You probably have a demon. You're insane. Why should I listen to you? It forces a response. Jesus forced a response out of these people. And you can see in verse 21, there's the other side of this response. These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? They start hearing truth. They see something. I want to know more. I want to listen to Jesus. He can't be insane. And this story forces us to make a decision, to think about something. If you've never heard a story like this before, you either think it's silly, you may not stand up and say, Jesus has a demon, but you may just disregard it. Whatever, not a big deal, I don't care. Or, this story has truth in it, this story is good, this story is tapping into something I long for. I want that abundant life. I want that good life. I want my guilt to be taken away. I want my shame to be taken away. I want that. I want to be part of Jesus' group. I want to know Jesus like Jesus knows the Father. Did he come for me? Yes. There's two responses here. John Piper had a really great sentence for this. He says, after the end of the story, you either hear the voice of an insane man or God. You either hear the voice of an insane man or God. And my question is, which do you hear? What do you hear when you hear this story? Do you hear the voice of a crazy person telling a silly little story? Or do you hear the voice of God and you hear hope? To those who want to stay blind, this story is foolish and silly. It's just a story. Someone opened their mouth and put words. But to those who want to see, this story is full of hope. There's life in this story. There's goodness in this story. I read this story and I want to be a part of this story. I want a shepherd that's willing to lay down his life for me. That's a good thing. That's a great thing. And we know it's true. And as we've been going through these different parables, we've been asking ourselves, when can we tell this story? When is this a helpful story to someone? And I would say you should tell this story to everybody, to anybody. There's two responses to this story, right? This is a crazy story. I don't care. This is a good story. I want to know more about this. You can tell a story to anybody. Especially someone that's still wrestling with, who is God? Is he the kind of person I want to follow? Yeah, you know, it's like there's this pen of sheep. And there's a really good shepherd, the kind of shepherd that he knows the sheep's names. And they know him and they recognize him and they follow him. This shepherd's willing to die for his sheep. And you can tell a simple story like that. And then point it all back to here and Jesus told the story and he really did this for us. This is a real thing. It started as a story. We were talking about sheep, but Jesus really died. And I would say, tell the story to yourself. Just reading through this a bunch of times and thinking about how good of a shepherd God is encouraged me so much and gave me more hope. Just the idea that Jesus doesn't just protect me and put me in a pen. He gives me abundant life. It just reminds me, because circumstances aren't always great. Sometimes the hill is nice and grassy, but sometimes it's just raining. It's not good. And I read this and think, oh, Jesus protects me. He provides for me. He saves me. He's good to me. He laid down his life for me. He is a good shepherd. He's so good to me. He came and got me. I wasn't anywhere close to where this story was told, and he came and got me. It's a good story. I would say, tell that story to yourself. And finally, if you're not part of this people, if you're not haven't walked through that door, I would encourage you, go to Jesus. Go to this good shepherd. He is so good, so loving. He's done so much. He's willing to give you life where there was only death. He's willing to take your guilt and your shame and your sin. He was God who came down and he loves you. I would encourage you to go to Jesus. Because he's so good. He's such a good shepherd. I'm going to go back to for just a moment to chapter 9. There was the blind man. He got his blindness taken away. And I just want to read to you his response. Jesus came up to him and he said, do you believe in the Son of Man or the Messiah or Christ? He answered, and who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Because he's never seen anybody before. Jesus said to him, you have seen him. It is he who is speaking to you. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. He heard something. He saw something. He was blind, but then he saw. And I want that to be our response from a story like this. Lord, I believe, and then we can worship. And that's what music's for. So let's pray.